access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Real 8. Now, we're sort of looking at typical patrol, reconnaissance patrols. We've just done a bit about listening.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a reconnaissance patrol, so say you've just got through the wire, what would you do then? If you're not going to dig a listening.
Well, all we do, we would go out. You'd be told where to go, because don't forget they had places for you to go. More or less, what you'd be doing is going into their line. So what you would do, you'd have a look around to see where their post was. Is there any activity? Was there any patrols going out? And if they were, who, how many of them? This type of thing, what I'm trying to explain to you, this is what they... But mainly, I was there not for picking up any information. I was there to back the unit up. So that if we got attacked, I would be able to, if you like, bring back the unit. Or if I got done, then that would be the unit sort of thing.
So you'd have the Bren gun. Your role as a Bren gun.
I had the Bren gun, and I also had a Sten gun. But sometimes the Bren gun used to be carried by somebody else, or mainly... I'd go out with the Bren gun mainly.
And your job would be to cover the withdrawal of the...
That's right, yeah. You always had to go for cover. And you knew, for some other reason, don't ask me why, but you did know what your job was. If you had a Sten gun, you'd go out the flanks to come back. Or if I was on the Bren gun, I'd stay in the middle and I would make sure that everybody was clear, so that everybody used to be behind me. So although I was going back, everybody was behind me, so that when I got when they got there, they were all safe, that type of thing.
We want to make it clear that you weren't attacking anybody.
No.
It was if you were attacked. Because
no.
Your job wasn't a fighting patrol. No.
All we'd done, we went out there to look to see what anybody was up to, why they was up to it, what they were doing, and roughly where they was, where their post was, if you like. Because don't forget, you used to creep up and then look over the side, and you'd see exactly the same as if they was creeping up to your place. They'd see a man bunker, and that would... They wanted to know if they had heavy artillery or whatever was in there, so that he knew exactly what to do. And then they would go back, pass all the information over, and everything would be all right then.
Did you have any close shaves in those? Have you mentioned
Not close shaves as close shaves. I mean, we were told just to stand still, and we did stand still because these Koreans just went by. And as I say, you did see them, but whether they see us or not, I don't really know. But we never used to do any problems with them, and they never used to do any problems with us. I mean, that's the way I looked at it. Whether I was right or wrong, I don't know, but...
Anything else happening in No Man's Land on a reconnaissance patrol?
I did once. They went to the No Man's Land, and I was told to go back and to do something. I can't remember offhand what it was, but I crept all the way back and went up this hill... And I looked up, and I see this Bren gun pointed at the top of my head. And all it was, he was waiting for me to give the password, which I give him, because he let me through. But then I had to go back out, and pick up the people that just sent me back, like the sergeant that just sent me out. So within reason, I was... You know, it was just one of them things that happened.
It could easily have shot you.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did shoot Cold Derby, didn't they?
Now, you haven't told me that story yet.
Oh, yes.
Were you on that patrol?
No, I wasn't on that patrol. Cold Derby went out, and the next thing we know, we found out that Cold Derby got shot. And what it was, he come back, and he went to the line... And he's supposed to have not given I can't believe it. Even now, I can't believe it. He didn't give his password, and the bloke actually stood there and shot him. So, you know, it's just one of them things that does happen, but unfortunately, it's one of them things that does happen that way. I mean, well, Corporal Darby knows that because he got shot, and he got killed through not giving the right password. And of course, straight after that, once they realised that something had happened like that, automatically what they did, they got you all together, sort of thing, and they made it that you had to give passwords whenever you went out, and you would have to know the password before you went out, and all that kind of a thing. So, of course, it was just
what
one
kind of passwords were they? Were they difficult to remember?
Oh, no, silly ones like Donald Duck. Anything that you would never have the same password twice. It was one of these sort of things that were going on. It was like that kind of a thing.
Now, so when would you come? How long would you be out on a patrol normally? A normal patrol.
4 hours.
Quite a long time.
Oh yes, 4 hours.
And then what would happen?
Well, then when you come back, you go for what they call debriefing.
Tell me about the debrief.
Well, it was only to tell the sergeant what you'd learnt, what you hadn't learnt, how good the corporal was.
They asked you that?
Oh, yeah. Asked us if we thought the corporal had looked after us properly and done the right things, and all things like that. Well, our corporals, they were your friends mainly, more than your corporals, if you can understand. I mean, when it come to the point that you had to have an order given, you would automatically listen to the order and go ahead and do things, like, you know what I mean? So really, it was just one of them things.
Now, I want to ask you about when you were in the line. Was there much Chinese or North Korean shelling? Either mortar or...
While we was out there, we had one big drive that come forward on us on the line that they really did, more or less, if they'd have kept going, they'd have gone right through us. That's how clever they were. I mean, but don't forget, with them, they had numbers.
Now, when was this attack? Before you were wounded, obviously.
Oh, yes, yeah.
What do you remember of that? It was a full-scale attack, wasn't it?
It was just a full-scale attack. But
what? Was it the Chinese or the North Koreans, or would you not know?
No, I wouldn't know, no.
Now, what do you remember of that? Was it a mass attack? What could you see?
All it was they sent up a load of flares so you could see who was coming down the road. You could see them.
The Chinese,
and we did, to show us what was going on. There was a bit of mortar fire, little things like that, and then they started coming up the hill, and there were so many of them that it was unbelievable. But anyway, they got so far, and what they did, they just stopped and went back.
Did you actually open fire?
Oh, yeah, we all...
Do you remember that? It's a funny thing to do, you know, for a civilian to open fire. How did you feel about opening fire? Could you hit anything?
Didn't think. I'll tell you what, I could have killed 100 people and would never know.
What were you firing with?
At the time, I was firing a Bren gun.
So you could have...
I could have done a lot of damage. And don't forget, everybody else was firing as well, just not me. There was loads of us all firing. And whether we made a good response on the hill, I do not know. But it wasn't, for some unknown reason, they didn't come up the hill. They didn't come up the hill after us.
You think they could have gone through that?
I think they could have gone right through.
Despite all your fire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you bring down support fire?
They did. Yeah, they brought all support, everything.
Artillery, but there was too many of them.
But there was, they didn't come in. So I'll tell you how bad it was with them. when they come along, they had nothing. And if the bloke dropped in front, they pick up their rifle. And then they'll come through with a rifle. That was the type of thing that it was. It wasn't just one of them. And I'll be honest with you, it's a thing that I'll never, never know, because I don't know how it happened. But when it was over, the day afterwards, there was no bodies hanging about. Now, where did they go? You don't know, I don't know. But it's just one of them things that it never happened. I don't know why. They managed to collect their own dead, and they took their own dead back. Somehow, it happened that way. It was overnight,
you
yeah.
No,
I didn't hear nothing, and the other blokes never heard nothing. And if we'd have heard something, we were told not to, well, most probably not to fire on them.
What I was asking was whether you ever came under much shellfire or mortar fire. Was there much shellfire or mortar fire from the Chinese on your trenches?
I would say the worst time I ever had was that time, and the other time was about three times other than that, where they dropped mortars and done everything that they could, shelling.
What's it like being under shell fire?
Not very clever. Not very.
What's it feel like?
Scary, as usual.
What do you do?
Well, what can you do? You're told to stay in one place, and you don't leave your post, so you dig yourself down.
Right at the bottom of the trench.
Right at the bottom of the trench, unfortunately, especially when you had the shells coming over, you just got underneath, and that was it sort of thing, you know. And once it was all over, you got back up, and you made sure that nobody was coming. Because don't forget, we did have sergeants and corporals and all that were telling us what to do, where to hide down, and when it was all over, to get up and make sure that you're keeping your eyes forward all the time, and things like that. So it was just one of them, really, I suppose it was a hair-raising factor. That, you know, it wasn't a very nice thing that happened to us there.
Now, what about sniper fire or simply no?
No, we were lucky. Well, I was lucky, let's put it that way. We didn't get much sniper fire at all. Not to my knowledge. But it's like everything. You don't know what comes over. You don't know who gets killed. I mean, and not only that, don't forget, you're not talking about, say, Len's place over there. You're talking about a long, long, long line. Don't forget, when your line comes, it comes in a big, it's not straight, but it's circular. It's like a snake, but it goes from, it could be 3 miles long, if you like. So really, what happens at the other end? Now, funny enough, if you looked at the other end, you could see the flares going up. You could see the shells dropping. I've dropped me. Oh, yes, you could see all that kind of thing going on. And then somebody would come along and say, if you like, B Company got it last night, or C Company got it last night. You know, you'd know the company that it belonged to, and you'd know whether they come unstuck or not. So, really, that was in the thingy as well. So, you know, it was.
Now, how long would you be in the front line for? You said
I was in there roughly, I would say about, I would be in there a month, then I would be able to go back into recreation.
A rest camp.
And then they'd bring you back up again.
Now, would the whole battalion go out, or did they just...
Oh, no, just a few. Only a few of you at a time.
Now, what was it like in the rest camp?
Mainly, again, it was only for, what shall I say, It was only for sleeping, eating, getting sleep at the right time, going to the pitches, because the amount of pitches I went to was unbelievable. Having a bath.
Tell me about the cinema. So there was a cinema, an outdoor cinema?
No, it was a sort of a tent come... It was a tent, let's put it that way, that really just you packed everybody in, and then they would have the cinema, they'd have the films up on the side.
And what sort of film was most popular out there? What was the atmosphere like watching films out
there? A very good atmosphere, especially when the films come on. Charmaine was one of the main, because, you know, the blokes used to have, you know, like the footballers do, they'll have the Liverpool song. Well, this is what used to be, like Charmaine used to be one of the biggest ones out there, you know, and all, they all used to sing that. But the films weren't bad at all, really. I mean, okay, we'd most probably seen them before.
Was everybody giving it a bit of that, you know, chatty,
yeah? Oh, yeah. Jokes. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was like that all the time. I mean, that was like it all the time. Especially when a bird came on, you know, and they used to start doing the right thing. They used to love all that, and he used to be, and all that, oh, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you had plenty of that.
Was there any camp concert, ENSA or anything like that? Any variety shows come out? Because I know they did. I'm wondering when they got as far as your S camp, right?
No, not to where I was, no.
Was there a sort of bar, or, you know, you could go to? No. I know you weren't a drinker, so it's...
No, if you talk about the rest camp, they used to be able to go and buy a bottle of booze. I mean, don't forget, the Rolfie's Lears were the biggest drinkers out there. Don't ask me why, but that's what they were told.
Now, why did they have such a reputation? Because you
weren't. No, I wouldn't. Well, because they'd come from a known place like this. That was it. You know, they used to have the place... I mean, they done it in bottles. They used to say that the Royal Fusiliers, the regiment, had drunk so much booze in bottles. So they was the biggest drinkers out there. All right, you used to get your others coming in, but they didn't drink as much as the Royal Fusiliers did. And yet I know about three or four of us that didn't drink.
Anything else you'd do? Rest camp. I mean, would
they
have mobile
showers
and things like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bath, not a shower, no. Bath.
Mobile bath.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. You know, a 50-gallon drum tin? That was cutting off. And that was your bath. Believe it.
Would you get a new uniform as well when you had a bath?
Oh, no. No. What are you asking for?
You just have what you... That's all you got.
No, you got, that's what you got. What
you didn't get sent to... I mean, you weren't there long before you were wounded, but no chance of being sent to Japan at this stage, you know, for rest. Because some of them were.
Oh, no, a lot of them did. Oh, yeah, but they'd been out there longer than I was. I mean, don't forget, they created... I'll tell you where I did go. I was sent to Sing Sing. It's on an island. It's an island near there.
Now, when was that? Before you were wounded, then, obviously?
Yes, before I was wounded.
Did you go back in the line first?
Yeah, no, this was when I most probably went in the line, come back out the line, went to the line, and then I was sent to E&R, or something they called it, R&A, or whatever they called it. But just to, all it was, you went there, and
where
you...
Where is this island? Sing Sing, you say?
It was called Sing Sing, it was. In somewhere near Korea. Is it in Korea itself? But it was called Sing Sing, and it was on a beach. And there you would have... Now, there you would have all your clothes cleaned and all baths, showers, you named it, pitches. But the most of the time, you used to be in the swimming. You used to be swimming in the sea. Believe it or not, you'd swim in the sea. And... That wasn't too bad. They just looked after you, and they give you, they made it so that you didn't have a worry in the world sort of thing, and you didn't, because you were so far away from the line that you didn't hear any bangs going off or nothing. So when you went to bed to sleep, and it did put your life back into you. So that was good, that was nice.
Now, what about fatigue, getting tired? I mean, how tired were you in the line? Did it build up?
Yes, it definitely builds up, but they got a very clever way of doing things, because as I said, where the others used to go to Japan and have a fortnight in Japan or something like that, we went to Sing Sing, and we had a place there where you would have all your recreation that you wanted, like, and that would unwind you until you started off again, until you come back again. And then you started all the procedure off again.
Now, did you have any special pals out there, you know, that you made friends with? I mean, Corporal Darby, you meant.
Yeah. He was a pal. I had Danny. He was another pal.
You know his surname?
No.
No, I understand.
It is a long time. We had Jeff. He was another one. But...
how did you pick the blokes you
expect? You didn't. You just connected, and it was there for you. You know, you just went with the crowd. And I'll tell you another thing that we did. I did find that you didn't have one. You had at least, if you like, half a dozen mates that were very close to you. And when one would go and do so and so, the other one might not do it. So, but you would be going with Jack, or you'd be going with Harry, or something like that. It was one of them things that you didn't have to worry about who you're going with tonight. When we went to the pictures, you wouldn't worry about who you was going with. You could go with somebody you'd never spoke to before. But you'd go because he would be your mate. And that's the type of thing that I found that we did have out there. I mean, whether you got it in the army today, I do not know. But by the sound of it, I don't think you have. Because I've known a few people come home from Ireland and they're talking about their mates as though they're rubbish. And, you know, that is not what I would say about my mates.
Now, anything happen, you know, you back and forth, anything happen before you get wounded, you know, any other incidents?
No, not really. I mean, I've done a lot of guard. I mean, out there, you was doing a lot of guard duties, if you can understand. You were looking
behind the line.
You were looking.
We haven't done that. We've done sentry duty. That's different. This is guard duties.
You'd be doing. Now we. I can't remember the name of the river.
Is it the Inchon? It might be.
But we'd done a river, and we had to look after this bridge. And the nooks and the crannies, like the noise that come away from there, was horrific. But the ice, if you want to see a flowing river, you know the River Thames? Well, if you see that frozen over, not by a foot, by about 3 foot wide, deep, that's how it was frozen. And because what they used to do, they used to come along and they used to drill a hole in the ice, and they used to drill a big hole to see how far the ice was and measure the ice. And I'll tell you what, it was very, very thick. And the river used to be just one big frozen. Now that I can, that I went on,
Would anything ever happen when you're on guard duty under a bridge?
Again,
it sounds like the engine, but I mean, it can't be short.
But I'll tell you what, again, either I was very lucky, but no, nothing ever happened. Not while I was on. I mean, all right, you had your stand twos, which everybody does at some point in the thing. I mean, we was on duty one night, and there was a little fire. So we stood
now,
to...
Is this on the bridge?
No, not on the bridge, no. This is just ordinary. But this is just in the, where we had a fire, and we notified the right authorities, and we was all helping to put the fire out. Now, that kind of a thing can happen anywhere, really. You know that, and I know that. So, within but I was very, very lucky as far as it's concerned. I didn't have a lot of trouble. I didn't have no trouble at all, not as far as that's concerned, anyway.
It's a very small thing, just to fill in the last couple of minutes. But army tea, and was it important to you getting tea brought to you in the front line? And was it any different from normal? People say it's better, but is it?
It's full of bromide, wasn't it?
I mean, was it though?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because you tasted it.
Well, couldn't that have been the...
It could have been. No. You're dead right. It could have been. But when you got hot, especially during the winter time, you got hot water, something very, very hot. And it was lovely because once you got it, you enjoyed it. It's like everything. If you haven't got something and you want it, when you get it, it's very enjoyable. And that's exactly the same with the army tea.
Was there a lot of sugar in there? Because people always seem to think it's highly sugared.
Could have been. It's not that I can remember it that way inclined.
Did you have Koreans attached to your unit?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us about that? What was their role?
Their role wasn't the one I would like. Now, when we went back to the line... We, in the rest camp, we had to go on we had to go out and see what these nutters would do.
What nutters?
Sorry. The Koreans.
South Koreans?
Yeah, and they were nutters. Because they would have a place, they would be shelling a place, like, if you like, and aiming at a particular place, and they used to run across while the shells were still going off.
Now, they're on your side?
They're on our side. But I'll tell you what, the Korean army was something that, how do I explain it to you, was very crude against themselves. There was one Korean who didn't do as he was told, and he got reported, and they come down and they beat him up in front of you. They just absolutely beat him up, and when I say beat him up, he was unconscious when he went back in the jeep, and they just got another bloke to stand in his place. There's one thing the Korean army never had. They never had anybody that was disrespectful. They wasn't allowed to be disrespectful. Where me or you would turn around and say, arseholes, I'm not doing that. And you could be put on jankers, and you'd get, you'd get put on the guard room. But not them. They come down and they beat them up.
So as far as they would take any risks.
Oh yeah. And,
Were they friendly?
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Especially when
you. What did they do? The ones attached to your unit.
But no, they were a unit on their own, but they were with you all times. If they come up, just say for argument's sake, you went out and you come back with a particular couple of people, there'd be the people that would. Translate all for them. I mean, this never happened for me, so I can't say that, but I'm just saying that, but I did see this definitely happen, where they come along and this Korean, he was beaten up to get sling him in the back of this jeep, and they just left the one soldier, just got a soldier out the back of the jeep, put him over there and beat the other bloke up and took him away. And God knows what happened to him. But they were vicious against their own crowd.